The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and issue number 148. And I think I know the title of the show this week. Do you?
You do. I don't know.
You don't know? You don't have a favorite already?
I no.
Really? Oh, yes. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. I do. But they are, I will say up front, I think they're both pretty good.
Yeah.
So, if you're new to the show and you have no idea what we're talking about, well, just wait till we get to checkout where we talk about our books this week. Yeah. We got some news items, and one I'm going to do a little pushing back on. I don't understand, but I've got my numbers. I did all my calculations, so we'll see about that. And a little hot this week, John. I'm coming in hot, so I can't do it here on the sidewalk. I'll wait till we get in the store, but I'm coming in hot.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go.
All right. You heard
it. Let's go then.
You heard it. Let's get into the store. Finally, I'm in the store.
Yeah.
Now I can cut loose.
I mean, there's no AC in here, so.
Uh-oh. Oh, you guys lose powers?
Yeah.
You still have no power?
I don't know if it does
at
now,
the store.
But
oh, that's didn't. Right. That's why you were ready early today. I wasn't, but that's what your store's closed right now.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Before we get to my stuff, how's things going down there with the storm and everything? I know you lost power. Do you have power now, or are you running off the generator?
I have power back now. I lost power for about 8 hours,
and you
came
loved
back
every
on about,
minute of it, didn't you?
I sure did, yes. I did. Got my money's worth out of the generator that I just turned on 2 weeks ago. So,
if that was not connected today.
It literally has been like 2 weeks since it got fully, fully turned on and activated. So
there you go.
It's not quiet, I will say that. And being right outside my bedroom window.
Yeah,
it was a little difficult to try to get back to sleep, but it was also because I had already woken up and had a hard time going back to sleep.
So does it kick on automatically and everything?
Yeah, it was just on. I got up right around 4 o'clock. It had been on for an hour and a half already, and didn't know. I wouldn't have even known if I didn't hear it. Because my fan was going, my clock was on, everything was normal. So
right.
Everything.
Is there a hiccup to the house? Do you even if we lose power while we're doing this, will the lights blink or does it just automatically just?
There was
go right
no
over?
Hiccup when the power came back on.
Okay.
I think because it, the house power just came on and it transitioned smoothly. I don't know exactly what happened at night, but I do know that my my clocks were flashing
The
microwave
so
and the stove, so it must have blinked.
And what hurricane is that now? Is there a name for that one? I haven't
Nicholas.
Ooh.
Yep.
Oh,
so
keeping it in
fun
the family.
Fact my son Nicholas turned 29 yesterday.
Oh,
it was his birthday. And Hurricane Nicholas hit on his birthday. So, and that's the second major, that's the second hurricane that's hit on his birthday.
Well,
in 2008.
He was born during hurricane season, so there you go.
But in 08, the Hurricane Ike was on his 16th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So actually, you said, which is still, it's like getting struck by lightning, right? Like, what are the odds?
Yeah, what are the odds? Well, it's a little greater than that, I think.
Yeah.
But
well, obviously, because it's happened twice.
It happened twice, and one of them is actually his name. So there you go.
That's more struck by lightning than anything.
Yeah, that's more struck by lightning. Having a hurricane named after you that lands on your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I'm getting.
But it was actually really mild. A lot of power outages. But like there was no flooding, no real flooding or damage, at least in my neighborhood. It didn't hit us very hard, but like I said, power's out.
Yeah.
500,000 or so people around Houston are without power. So
wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting alerts on my phone from the weather app. I think it's the Weather Channel app that I use to track the weather for me for work. And I'm getting like commercials, advertisements like, "Hey, watch the storm, you know, hit Texas."
Yeah.
What? Like these are real people. This isn't Hurricane Heist. This is real. Right. Like, what do you mean? Like, oh, hey, entertaining. Hey, John, can you get some video of your store flooding? That'd be kind of cool for us up here. I'm like, no, weather's supposed to be like utilitarian, not entertaining for the people that are safe. But that's not what I'm coming in hot about this week.
Okay.
Coming in a little hot. Somebody's, this guy named Seth. Throwing some shade on our boy, Dr. Joe.
Seth, okay.
Yeah, some guy named Seth on Twitter. But apparently, so Idle Hands up here, Idle Hands Brewery, every year they have this function where they have, you know, they have dunk tanks. It's an outdoor thing. And for 3 years running, they didn't have it last year, but 3 years running, they have a Stein Hoisting Championship where you have to sit there and hold up a beer. And whoever holds it the long, and like everybody gets in, you get your beer or it's water, but because they're not going to waste the beer. Right. And you got to hold it out in front of you. Dr. Joe is now the three-time champion, three times in a row, won it the third time this year. And I think it was Billy D, a guy up here, Billy D the Geek, the Greek, Billy D the Greek. He tweeted out after Dr. Joe won three-time champion.
He's a three-peat, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Three-peat, right? And he tweets out, he's like, "Hey, my boy, whatever." And he says, "Three-time champion." And the first comment underneath is from the guy, Seth. "Hey, no love for the co-champion?" Because apparently they tied. I was like,
right.
No, the tweet's not about that. It's like, there's nowhere in
there.
Were
you co-champion three years in a row?
No, that's what I said.
Because if you were, then yes, there's some love for the co-champion.
Yeah, so I said, and Dr. Joe was great. He's like, nope, all the love, he replied. He did all the right things, and he's right. I mean, it is right, and I'm just busting balls. But it's like, that wasn't about you. This is these buddies here talking about three-time champion, and he's like, gets in, like, do you have no other friends?
Right.
Have your friends start their tweet about you. And apparently he's two-time champion because apparently they tied last time too. So he's two-time in a row. And that's what I found that out from Dr. Joe. And I was like, he goes, well, actually he's a two-time champion. I go, okay, well talk to me when he's three. It's still not a three-time champion, but you don't, I was like, hey, come on. Yeah. Like, nowhere in there does it say anything about you. Dr. Joe, three times in a row. Congratulations, Dr. Joe.
Yeah. So, congrats.
Yep. So, all right. What else you got? Anything else interesting?
Breaking news. There's
breaking.
Breaking news.
Not in our news.
Yep. Not in the notes. I saw this very recently. Norm MacDonald, RIP. Yeah, passed away today.
Yes, I just saw
61,
that
61, I believe he was died from cancer.
Yeah, privately. So, like, nobody even knew he had it.
Yeah. So huge outpouring on Twitter from all the comedians talking about him. And I've loved Norm MacDonald. I always thought he was very funny. Never really hit it big, you know, didn't have the big sitcom or the movie career or anything like that, but was always super funny anytime you saw him. So
I read one of his books a while ago. Jen gave it me, I think, for like a Father's Day or something like that. Hysterical. It's just all like life quips all the way through. Really good.
Right.
Really, but yeah, he was the same. He had that. It was all like common sense stuff. His humor.
Yeah, it was delivery, though.
Yeah, it was just dry delivery. Like, and, come on.
Yeah.
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 So. Yeah, he was great.
So yeah, again, not super in our wheelhouse when it comes to the geek and the comic stuff, but I always enjoyed him. So
yeah,
like I said, RIP Norm.
Yeah,
F cancer.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit, especially the quick tweets that I saw before we jumped on, remind me a little bit of Chadwick Boseman, how just because nobody knew he had it, and then you're like, whoops, then he's gone. You know, I mean, obviously Chadwick Boseman's a little bit younger, but it just still, it was, I mean, 61's not old.
It's not
just
old.
All of a sudden to be like, whoop, disappear. That's too bad. Too bad. Sad to see that. All right. Quickly, the shows for this week. What did you think of Titans this week? Spoiler free. Well, we'll do Kryptonite at the end.
It was fine. Like, it didn't cheese me off like it, like the week before did. So,
well, that's good. It's a positive.
That's a positive.
They're on the uptick.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it wasn't super remarkable, I don't think, but it was good.
Yep. Better relationship there. It seems to be going in the right direction. We'll talk more. And
yeah, I had to go back and I actually watched it twice because I fell asleep.
Really?
You know, I fell asleep in the last 10 minutes or so.
Oh, really?
Of it, but I wasn't sure how much I had seen, so I rewatched it again, and I really just missed kind of the ending.
Oh, okay.
With Dick and Barbara in those scenes, but but I did watch. I basically watched the whole thing twice.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Good for you. I didn't watch it twice this week, so you'll probably have a little bit more better recollection than I will. All right. What if? What'd you think of that this week? The zombies.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked that one a lot. And it is. When are they continuing it? Because there's another part to that.
Well, it's the finale,
this week, right?
I think it's the season finale and that's what I was going to say. I was actually a little confused when I watched this because I was under the impression that the season finale was Marvel Zombies.
Right.
I didn't realize that there were going to be two episodes. So I think it's basically the season finale, I think, is the second part of it.
So, yeah. Yeah, and there's how many episodes? Is it like 12? Something like that? It's quite a few. We still have a few to go.
I think. Well, I think we've got five left.
Yeah.
I think is what it is.
Cool.
Because they did a little, they dropped kind of like the second half of the season trailers yesterday. I didn't watch it, but I know they did that. So.
All right. Let's, speaking of trailers, let's get to a couple of quick trailers before we get to breaking news.
I haven't seen any of them.
You haven't seen any? You didn't see the Hawkeye trailer?
Nope.
Oh, it's on Disney Plus. I watched it last night. Oh.
Yeah.
So excited. So excited. It looks fantastic. I'm very excited for it. We have Bows and Christmas. Doesn't get any better than that.
I know it. I've heard it's great. I'll get to it, but had a bit of stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, you have power going on, power coming on.
Yeah.
But yeah, just it looks like it's going to be funny. It starts November 24th, so it's going to run right through Christmas. It has a whole Christmas theme to it that looks like it runs through the entire show, and it just, you know, Haley as Kate Bishop and the whole, it just looks so awesome. I can't wait. I'm like, I love Christmas, my favorite time of year. I'm gonna put it out there now, this is probably going to be my favorite Marvel show.
You think?
Yeah, because I love bows. I love archery. Christmas, and it's like, and now these two, I have a feeling that between like Hawkeye and Kate Bishop and everything, and they're gonna have like a competition going between them. I felt like that just watching the trailer. Like they're gonna be like, oh, you can do this. Watch what I can do. It just looks like it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of showing off type thing. And wait till you see the trailer. You'll see a couple of things, but
yeah. Yeah. I've heard it's a lot lighter in tone.
Yeah.
Too. Like it looks, you know, it looks really fun. So
yeah. Yeah. It looks like they're going for another like theme that they haven't done yet. Similar, like with WandaVision and then Loki and then this. So it looks like they're going for almost like the buddy cop type comedy. And that's what this is going to be, which it should be a lot of fun. And then the Matrix trailer, you haven't seen that? That's been out for a few days now.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, wow. Okay. That looks really good. I'm really excited for this, obviously.
Are you? I'm not super into it, so that's why I wasn't really not a rush to watch it. So
that's right. When we broke down the Matrix, you really didn't, you weren't too into
it. Well, I'm a big Matrix 1 fan. Like, right. I really like the Matrix. Not as much of a fan of 2 and 3. So,
right.
Again, of course I'm going to go see it, but I'm not, like, salivating for it.
It looks so good. It looks so good. And it's funny. I was listening to the Nerdy Legion. Martin and Nick finally threw something together for us little people so that we could hear them talk. And and they were talking about that. They did an entire podcast about the Matrix trailer.
Oh, really?
No. No.
I was going to say, is there that much to it?
I think that, no, they talk for 2.5 hours, but like every 20 minutes, they'd talk a little bit more about it. Oh. So it's like you have to listen.
I've heard there's like an interactive web experience too.
If you pick,
you go on
the pill.
And you pick, yeah, you pick the pill and you get, there's something like, I don't know what they said, something crazy, like tens of thousands of different samples of the movie out there, depending on how you go. And I was like, well, if you do this enough, do you just see the movie? Like, can I just keep doing this over and over again? Yeah.
Yeah. There's a scene in the trailer, maybe you'll remember, but you didn't really watch the other one. So
not over and over and over again.
They're featuring mirrors in the trailer. People are stepping in and out of the mirrors. And I'm like, is it possible that this new Matrix is going to incorporate? Like I said this in my other podcast. What about the idea of there's a whole other Matrix at the same time and the mirrors join them? That's what
Like a multiverse, a Matrix multiverse.
Well,
like,
think of it this way. This is how I said it in my other podcast. You have a computer and I have a computer.
Right.
Right. And if you link them, if I get a virus in my computer, as long as I don't link it with your computer, we should be good. Well, right. Maybe Neo uses the mirror. Maybe the mirror is the link between the two, computers that they're using. And you know what I mean? It's like, cause they said in the first one, we're the virus. So they're trying to keep us segregated. So we ruined this program over here, but we rebooted this computer over here. But then I don't know. I'm just guessing out there. But Nick had a question for us. And I'm not 100% sure what it was, but I think they were talking about, if I interpreted his question right, rewatching The Matrix, it looks fantastic. To this day, right? Like the special effects, how do they age so well? I feel like that's what he was saying. And it's like, I think DJ would know. So I'm like, and they're like, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't do them. But I think the reason they age so well is because, here's my interpretation of watching all the extras, watching everything. Obviously, they invented bullet time at the time, right?
Right.
The reason they age so well is because I think they developed a lot of the stuff themselves that's still being used to this day. So when you go back to see this new Matrix movie and any movie before it and since The Matrix, they all look the same. It doesn't look dated because they've been using that technology and developing it, and it hasn't aged yet. It just feels like they've done such a good job, and they did such a good job with The Matrix. And especially using the tones, each movie having a different tone, that also hides a lot when you're going in to do CGI and stuff. So,
right.
I don't know. I think that's my guess. I don't know if that answers Nick's question, but I'll have to stay tuned. I'll have to check his next podcast out in a couple of months to see his response to that.
Yeah. I can remember that long.
Right. Well, they'll probably since they did a whole podcast on the trailer, they'll probably drop a podcast after the movie comes out. So, in a couple of months. So,
yeah.
All right. Is that all we got?
Let's think so.
Get to some breaking news, get to our news for the week.
Yeah. Well, it looks like...
Sorry.
It's all right. Marvel's Eternals is going to get the theatrical-only release treatment. Again, I guess on the heels of Shang-Chi. And actually, Disney has said that this is all of their slate going forward for the rest of the year. So it's all of their releases. It just happens that the only Marvel release between now and then is Eternals. But they're bolstered enough that whatever other movies they've got this year are all going to be theatrical only and have the, I think it's between 30 and 45 day windows. It might vary per by the movie. But
so here's a thing that I still don't understand.
I know what you're going to say, and I don't know, but...
You know what I mean? But if you know what I'm going to say, it's like they're talking about like Shang-Chi's success, and they're like, oh, we're bolstered by this. Now, maybe it's the trend, because they're thinking that these, you know, we've got to stop doing this Disney Plus thing or streaming thing, depending on which studio you are. Right. Because if we ever want to get back to doing $1 billion again for some, not that Shang-Chi would have done it or that the Eternals will, but if we ever want to get back there, we've got to pull the plug on this streaming thing. I would understand that. But to say that like Shang-Chi's success, which by the numbers after 2 weeks is less successful than Black Widow, because the numbers,
it's not if you don't include Disney Plus. Like, you just got to take Disney Plus out of that equation.
Right. But does that make sense?
Well, yes, because they feel like they're going to make that up in 40 days when it goes to Disney Plus.
Well, when it goes to Disney Plus, are they going to charge premium access in 40 days? Oh, they are?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll get that. But we'll see. That's a good test. Yeah. That's a good point. I don't think they're going to do 60 million.
I don't know if they will either. And I don't know what Black Widow's done since then either. Like, we don't know what the Disney Plus totals are for Black Widow. And the thing is, we'll never know because they won't
release that on Disney Plus, right?
Because they'll never release it. But just looking at the theatrical releases, the numbers aren't that different. But
no, they aren't.
But they are higher. You know, it did what, 10 million more in week one? And then 7 or 8 million more in week two.
Well, Black Widow did, I rounded it off at 80 week one, and then it did like 23 week two. But then if you take it, supposedly when you do it that way, the theatrical stuff, they get 50%. That's what you're seeing online. So if you took that number, they're getting 40 and then 11.5. So that's 51.5 million for Black Widow after 2 weeks. And the same numbers added up were 90 million out of the first weekend, which was a long weekend, and then 35 the second weekend, which I've heard since then that was overstated as 32. But let's keep it at 35. And they come out at 62 million. So they made 10 million more. But to discount the fact that like Disney Plus is at 60, that's a big number. You know, that's literally, when you add that in, it's almost double what the other one did. So I get it. But you have to get there someday. Eventually you have to pull the plug on that. And I do like the idea of, like you said, like in 40 days when it goes to Disney Plus, you charge the $30. I'll probably buy it. I know, you know, but then how far away is that from being free on Disney Plus? Is it the same distance away as like, say, Black Widow was? Back, you know, remember?
Yeah, probably another 40 days after that or so it goes free, right?
Right.
I don't, like I said, I don't pretend to understand it, but somewhere along the line, the bean counters think that this is a bigger success, and so it must be. You know what I mean? Like, because Disney is not about giving up money. Like, if they felt like their Black Widow model was better, that's what they'd be doing.
Right.
Like, they're not doing any favors for the theaters or the consumers. They only do what's best for them. So I don't know how it all works out at the end, but they must feel like it's a better return. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
There's just no way that they would give up $60 million if they didn't think they were going to get it back somehow.
Right.
I don't know what the global release numbers are for both movies, and you know, maybe there's a bigger difference there you know, is making up some of the difference. But like I said, I don't really, although I do know, and I don't know if Black Widow went to China, but I know that they're saying Shang-Chi is not going to open in China, and China is a huge market. So
really,
yeah,
why wouldn't it? What
Simu Liu, like, there's apparently he's got some controversy going back with China. So
yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff some comments going on with
yeah
them.
Well, but he's, I guess he made some comments in his past about his family that didn't go over well, so I don't know.
Interesting. But I, one of the things that, like, why this jumps out at me is I just remember that Black Widow was considered, like, a failure after week two.
Right.
Because it dropped, because it did so good on week one, and everybody's excited, and it dropped to 23, and everybody's like, oh, man, look at how much it dropped. This is such a failure. And it's like, it's literally 10 million off of what you consider, 10 million off theatrical.
Right.
Off but of maybe what they consider a success now. This is a success. And you're like, 10 million.
But again, maybe they're looking at what they think the trend is.
Right.
Because, like, what was Black Widow week three? I don't even know. But it could be something in the $7 or $8 million range,
right.
You know, who knows?
But here's,
so here, if Shang-Chi does 20 in its third week and keeps going, maybe they're just looking at the trajectory of it and think that it's got more legs to keep going. Because it's not being held back by Disney Plus.
But what's interesting, though, is also, it's like Shang-Chi is 10 million ahead after 2 weeks, and the only place you could see it was in the theater.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, so Black Widow after 2 weeks is only 2 million behind theatrically, but a lot of people just said, I'm not going to the theater because I can stay home.
Right.
You know, so it's like, there. It's not apples and apples here. So it's, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's necessarily, I mean, the trend is there, but is that really a trend that it did 10 million more when you didn't have, I'd say if it did 10 million more and you had the Disney Plus, that would show a trend. This just shows, all right, $10 million worth of people didn't get to stay home and they went and saw it.
Right.
So, you know, so, all right, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see after when it does come out on Disney Plus and how much it makes then.
Yeah, but like you said, we probably won't know because
you're right.
We just won't know because they won't say.
It'll get my $30.
Yeah.
So I'll count that. All right. What's next? What we got next?
HBO Max is developing a supposedly, this is not factual yet, but
come on, John.
It broke in a lot of places. They are developing a Penguin prequel series, prequel to the Matt Reeves Batman movie verse. So Colin Farrell's version of the Penguin. I know that he has been approached to play Penguin in this, but no word on whether he will do that or not. It was in the article that I read. That's all I know. But this is supposed to be, this is supposed to be a Scarface style, like, rise to power.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just, like, again, what
cocaine?
It said.
Like, I'm like,
drug lord, you know, crime boss.
I didn't know Scarface had, like, the stamp on that one.
And maybe, I don't know.
I mean, it's like, there's a lot of people
again,
that came from
just
nothing.
What I've heard and what I've read.
No,
I'm just regurgitating the news.
I'm not arguing with you. I've seen the same thing. And every time I saw it, I was like, why do people keep pointing to that? Like,
I don't know.
I'm like, there's so many.
I wouldn't even think that he was like necessarily a crime boss or like a mob boss. Like, he was a drug dealer for sure. But
yeah,
but he wasn't like Al Capone or anything. Like, he didn't run the whole city. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen Scarface in a while. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he did, but it's just what it said.
I haven't seen it in a while either, but I do remember that when I saw it later in life, it didn't live up to when I saw it when I was like a teenager.
It probably doesn't hold up.
I'm like, really? Like,
yeah.
So, all right, moving on.
And then another live action series in development, She-Ra, Princess of Power, is in development at Amazon. So,
yeah, cool. I like the She-Ra series on Netflix. That's the one I did last year with Rob over at on my home theater podcast. I watched the entire thing, and pretty good series. So believe it or not, I'd actually be down for this.
Yeah, should be good. I'd be down for it too.
Yeah.
Depends on how they go with it. You know, like, I hope they take it seriously. Try to make it like a, not necessarily like campy or cartoony, even though it's live action, you know what I mean? Like, I want it to be treated like a serious, you know, action show, or, you know what I mean? I hope. I don't necessarily want it to be a kid show that is Saturday morning cartoony kind of, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it's going to be NC-17, John.
You never know.
Or for mature audiences. What?
You never know. It's Amazon, so.
Yeah.
Could be.
I'd hate to see that demographic.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the She-Ra. That's awful. Oh.
I don't necessarily need
to
be NC-17.
I don't even want to play that sounder here.
Yeah. I don't need it to be NC-17. I just want it to be treated, like I said, like we're watching a Game of Thrones show or a Conan movie or something. You know what I mean? I just want it to not be campy and, you know, cartoony. I want it to be, like I said, as serious as it can be with She-Ra, Princess of Power. So
that's funny. That's really funny. Oh, okay. Anything else? I think that's it, right?
That's all I had. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of news this week.
Okay. Yeah. I got a couple of them. Theo from my home theater podcast, he's checking out a Bright Side Chat. He's enjoying it. That's what he's telling me so far. And I scoured my notes. I can't find who it was. One of my other listeners dropped me a note, and he says he loves our banter. He doesn't know. I think he said he's not really into comics, but he likes listening to us. Loves our banter, especially. Okay.
She fell onto Dick. Oh, yeah.
But unfortunately, I can't remember who it was. And I've looked through all my emails. I looked through all. I'm like, where is this? It's like, I got the message and if I think of it during, you know, it's going to pop in my head and I'm going to have to like hit that. But people are enjoying it, John. They're really enjoying it.
She fell onto Dick. I mean, nobody enjoyed it more than she did, but.
Oh, geez. Jeez.
Or Dick, for that matter. She fell onto Dick.
Oh, man. Yeah, look at you. Yeah, see? Losing power. You're not feeling so good today, but a couple little sounders and you're all...
Yeah.
You're
bringing the jokes.
You're all...
Yeah. Boing.
No, that's coming later. Don't worry about it. Oh, okay. All right, you ready to get to some comics?
I am.
And I'll keep thinking who that was. It's killing me.
Well, we love you anyways, even though.
I know, but I feel bad. I hate when I do this. I can't think of where it is, but. Ooh, I think I thought of it. But, all right, John, what am I going to spend my money on this week? You keep
Eternals, Thanos Rises, issue number 1. There's a 1 in 25 variant there that's going for over ratio at $35 to $40. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about here since I did a deep dive on it last week.
wait a minute. Hang on. Sorry. I wasn't listening. I was looking something up. What did you say? No, go ahead. Are we still on Eternals Rise? Thanos Rises?
No, now we're on Fantastic Four number 35. for some reason, the 1 in 25 variant here is selling for between $70 and $90. Not quite sure why, but Yeah, that's almost three times, almost four times ratio in some cases at $90. So definitely one to look for if you can.
Yep.
Iron Man number 12 has a Raza variant. That's actually not a ratio variant. It's just the open order variant cover. But it is hot, selling for between $18 and $25.
It's an awesome cover.
It is.
It's a really cool cover.
I hope I ordered enough of these. I don't know because they're all sitting in the dark in my store.
But hopefully you have them elevated.
Yes, hopefully just I have enough case, of those.
You never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool cover. If you, I mean, you can go to the YouTube and you can watch it there. And the timestamp on it should be roughly around the 39-minute and 45-second mark.
There you go. Roughly 39:45.
Right around there.
Right around
there. We're still talking about it, and it's now
right around 39:45, 17.
Hike! Actually, it's going to be way before that because we chatted too much beforehand. So
that's
scratch
true.
That. You're just going to have to go look and, you know, go to the show notes. It's the third thing we talk about is speculate a roundup.
It is.
All right.
All right. Joker number 7. The 1 in 25 variant, selling for between $25 and $45. So pretty much from right on ratio to almost double. Red Room number 4. This is a 1 in 10 Spawn homage variant, selling for between $30 and $60. And then the 1 in 15 variant is also a bit over ratio. Well, actually, it's not a bit over. It's quite a bit over, $25 to $35. So almost double ratio there. Star Wars Bounty Hunters Bosch number 1. 1 in 25 variant is just over ratio at $35. Usagi Yojimbo number 22, the 1 in 10 variant, looking pretty scarce because there's only a couple of copies on eBay currently. It is listed at just over $20 with 3 days left. So probably going to settle in the $25, $30 range. White number 3, this continues to just be inflated or manufactured scarcity. On this book.
Yeah.
Because they just continue to allocate the copies of this book, even though by number 3, that shouldn't be happening anymore. But most recent sale of this was around $40, and most of the current listings on eBay are above that. So hopefully you have subscribed to this if you want them and you're getting them from your store at cover price, because otherwise they continue to just be crazy. But that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right. So now it's John's favorite time of the week. Back issue bonus.
Back issue bonus. All right. Life is Strange, issue number 1. This is from 2018. There is a new video game in the Life is Strange world, and there is a TV show in the works at HBO Max. So that is pulling this book back into the spotlight. First prints are selling for about $80 raw, and even the second prints are pushing into the $50 range. So if you have these or you can find these, now's the time to get them. This is a series, not necessarily a book, and we don't usually talk about like manga series, but and I don't even know how to say this, Dorohedoro, I guess, the manga series. There is a Netflix show that hit right around the time of the beginning of the great manga shortage. If you don't know, we are in the middle of that right now. There's a huge shortage on manga, almost to the point where you can't get anything. So plenty of demand and little availability. And with this series, especially because of the show, volume 1 of this series is going for between $20 and $30. Volume 2 is selling for between $50 and $70. And the real money is the last volume, volume 23. Only has one active copy on eBay right now, and it has been bid up to $130. These are $9.99 manga volumes that have no collectability at all in the long term. But people are trying to get them and read them. You know, like once these things, you know, once the printings, you know, once they come back into print, you're going to be able to buy these for $9.99. But it could be a year, could be 2 years. Who knows?
Right.
Like we're a long way off from having good availability of these books. So for now, they're going for crazy price. So if you have them and you've read them and you don't want to keep them, I
just
suggest,
unload them. Yeah,
I suggest unloading them because they're worth money. Okay. Next up, we have Harbinger number one from 1992, Valiant Comics. This is like one of the classic speculator books. Back in the 90s, this thing was hot as fire, and then Valiant fell through the floor. But there's rumors of this series getting a TV show, and that's got this thing kind of back in the spotlight again. Apparently, issue one has a coupon attached that needs to be present, obviously, for completeness. But if you have one with the coupon, it's selling for about $100 now.
Oh, wow. What's the coupon for?
A
free Coke?
I don't know. Arby's or something. I don't know. But I guess somebody last week went through and bought up the 9.8 graded copies off of eBay, and they sold to the tune of $1,400 a piece. So,
oh wow,
some people are betting pretty big on this. So for their sake, I hope it gets a show or something, because otherwise you've spent a lot of money on these books.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, next we have Hawkeye, and we're going to talk about a particular run. Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye is the most popular run that this character has ever had, and this series is pretty highly regarded as being pretty great. So, so issue number one, $75 to $100 and getting harder to find. Issue number two is the first Clint and Kate team-up issue. It's selling for $25. Issue number nine, first Kazzy the Clown. Don't know the significance, but that's $35. And then issue number 11 is, it's called a classic pizza dog issue, whatever that means. $35 to $50.
Yep.
But there's also a second print on that one that's selling for between $50 and $100.
Yeah, I didn't get the image for the second print, but I had the first images for the first four.
Okay.
But
so
it looks like
definitely hot books right now. And to be expected, right? Like all the WandaVision books were hot when WandaVision came out.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this just stands to reason that these are going to be popular now, especially with the trailer dropping. Keeping with that, we have Hawkeye number one. This is the 2017 series. This is the first Kate Bishop solo series, selling for between $30 and $40. This is the one that I had like 11 of that I sold for $4 a piece.
We talked about this a while ago. Yeah. Great cover.
Yeah, I mean, it's been on the rise for a little while ever since they confirmed that she was going to be in the series. But like I said, it's now sitting at about $40.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Next up, Marvel Tales 232. We talked about Marvel Tales last week. This is just another McFarlane cover, selling for between $25 and $30. So at this point, just look at the whole run of issue 223 through 239. They're all McFarlane covers. If they're not in the $30 range, they probably will be. So.
Yeah.
So go out and try to find those.
We'll touch on that next week.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Next, we have Thor 134. This is the first appearance of the High Evolutionary. I guess he has been confirmed for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I didn't see that, but guess that's out there. I guess that's out there somewhere. A raw copy, a 2.0 copy, sold the other day for about $100. So obviously higher grade copies are going to be more expensive. And this one is heating up by the minute. So,
all right.
And then last but not least, Totally Awesome Hulk number 15. This is the first appearance of the Protectors, selling for about $15. So that is it for back issue bonus.
All right. And that leads us right to back issue. Now we're going to FOC. Right?
We are.
All right. Let's get to FOC.
Okay. Starting with DC, we have I Am Batman, issue number 2.
Cool.
Pretty
cover.
Cool Francesco Mattina variant cover.
Have we ever not liked one of his covers? I'm trying to think.
Not that I can think. Not many, if we haven't.
Yeah.
He's generally pretty solid with his covers.
Yeah.
This one is, I don't read this series, but it's actually a pretty nice cover. Next, we have Joker, issue number 8, Jorge Molina. And then finally, Wonder Girl, number 4, Jamal Campbell.
That's a cool cover, too.
It is really cool. As far as new series from DC, we actually have a one-shot here, Batman The Long Halloween Special, with multiple covers.
Was that a trade, the whole thing?
Is that I think it's a new story set in the world. I'm not 100% sure.
Halloween world?
Yeah, but it's not just the graphic novel. I know that.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely grab that because I reread the book, watched the series on disc.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that one as well.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Catwoman Lonely City. This is a Black Label book. Mm-hmm. This is issue number 1 of 4 with multiple covers.
Judging by this cover, it doesn't look like it's going to fit into the normal.
I think it's probably oversized.
Oversized, yes. Yeah. Dr. Joe is not going to be a happy camper.
At this point, there's been so many of them, you should have already invested in a magazine-sized box and bags and boards.
A little pushback on Dr. Joe.
I'm
going to
throw a little bit of shade up there myself.
Joe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just call me Seth.
Nice. Nice. All right.
Hopefully Seth doesn't listen.
Yeah.
We're alienating our listener.
Why? You just
sided
with
the two-time champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seth, who apparently has big shoulders, so we probably shouldn't be screwing with him.
Probably not. And then last but not least from DC, we have Nubia and the Amazons, issue number 1 of 6 with multiple covers. From IDW, we have Star Trek The Mirror War, issue number 1 with multiple covers.
Nice image card there.
It is, yes.
Jeez. It's like photo realistic.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool cover.
Although he looks like he's getting ready to be Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well, it's the Mirror Universe. You're not familiar with Star Trek, so.
No, I'm not at all.
It's a big thing. From Image, we have another huge series here, Gunslinger Spawn, issue number 1. This one has multiple cover options and should be a big series. So,
yeah.
Pick your cover, get your orders in.
Because, you know, I am a huge Spawn fan and have been
going back weeks and weeks.
Now.
Yeah.
That'll be over a month.
Yeah. Weeks and weeks. You're like an OG fan at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. From Marvel. Once again, not really any variant covers available, but we have 2 new series. We have Black Panther Legends, number 1 of 4 with multiple covers. And then we have the rebooted Venom, issue number 1 with a multitude of covers. So Venom should be super hot as well. So.
All right.
Vault Comics has The Rush, number 1, with just 1 cover. And
did you see what that stands for?
I did,
Isn't that cool?
It was cool.
Hungry Earth reddens under snow-clad hills.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool cover, too.
It was, yeah. I'll definitely check that out when it comes out. That'll probably be one of our checkout books.
Yeah. That looks very interesting.
Yeah. And then last but not least from Zenoscope Comics, we have Rise of the Djinn, issue number 1 of 3 with multiple covers.
All right.
And that will do it for FOC.
All right, John. Let's get to checkout. All right. What do we got first? We have...
So, I'm going to go out on record first before I talk about either one of these and say that, like, I am very, like... Don't know how I feel about either one of them. Let's put it that way.
Really?
Like I'm undecided on both of them.
Oh, wow.
And not necessarily in a bad way,
yep.
But I just feel like I don't really understand either one of them. So,
okay.
So we're going to start with Deadbox, issue number one. This is from Vault Comics.
Yeah.
It was written by Mark Russell. It had art by Ben Tiesma. Now, I will say of the two, I understand this one a bit more. It was... a little bit more straightforward.
Really?
I
would have thought
so.
The other one, but okay. All right.
We're yeah. So we are in the town of Lost Turkey, where the main source of entertainment is basically a cursed red box. And that's where the dead box name comes from. So you meet a girl who's, I guess, a convenience store. Her father owns a convenience store that has this DVD machine in it, and this is really the only source of and it's the only source of entertainment really for the town, for a town that doesn't have Wi-Fi or you know, really any other source of entertainment. Everybody comes and rents
or a movie theater,
these DVDs. So apparently this thing is stocked with movies that were obtained by the father, and nobody knows where they came from. They're not like mainstream movies. Like, you won't find these movies anywhere else. They're only in this machine, apparently. So then the book just kind of it shuffles back and forth between the characters you know, working in the store and interacting with other citizens of the town, and also the dad who's ill, and then like the movie that she's watching. And it's a space tale of, you know, it almost reminded me of like The Arrival, where we got a message from out of space, we deciphered it, and in the movie at least, they're sending an emissary from Earth to this planet, but it's going to take, you know, a whole lifetime. Yeah, 200 of our years, but 50 years for him because he's traveling at light speed. I'm not like super certain what's going on here. Like, the movies obviously are going to be somehow interacting with real life, right? Because it's just the way the book is set up. Like, these movies are going to have significance somehow, but we don't quite know where yet. I mean, the last page of the book gives some kind of indication that the dad is, his sickness is because of one of these movies that he's watched. And so I feel like these movies are going to affect people, maybe even like a la The Ring, where, you know, you watch this movie and then 7 days later you die or something. But it doesn't seem like the people of the town are all dropping dead. So, like, I don't know what the significance of the movies are, but like, I enjoyed the book, but I just kind of feel like I don't know exactly what's going on, and I really don't know how I feel about the whole thing. So, I mean, both of the separate stories were interesting.
The
space, you know, the space story was interesting, and it felt like you were reading two different books almost.
Yeah.
And then her story was interesting with the dad. So I'm definitely on board for this, but like, I'm not going to say, like, I don't give it like two thumbs up. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't love it.
I kind of did, because I get what you're saying. Like, cause we're not sure what's going on, but when you get to the end of a book like this and you look back and go, well, wow, I was completely riveted the entire time.
Right.
Could you give a book more praise than that? I mean, it was a page turner, the entire thing. Because
it was. Like, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the two stories are great, and I mean, the two stories, they don't contradict each other, but they're like, you know,
but you don't see how they. how they complement each other either. Right. Yeah. You just don't know what's going on. So
you don't know what it means, but you're still like, I thought the writing did a great job of like getting you into the character of the girl, right? That's supposed to be going off to college. So right away, you're like three pages in and you feel for her, you feel for this character. And then like in everything that she has to go through and how her life and stuff. But then you get into like she hits play on that movie. Excuse me. And now you're into that. Right. And you're like, how is this going to play out? And it's like, I was imagining things were going to happen. Like, what if he gets to that planet? And like, what if they were just off in scale and maybe he was a giant or they were giants? I was going on, like, I had a bunch of different things, but I was riveted the entire time. Then he gets there and there's a twist to it. And you're like, wow. Okay. But you could totally, you could totally see all of that, how that could happen. Then it ends and you're like, there's a twist to that. And it's like, does that have to do with that? What is this? I really can't give a book a higher praise than I was riveted the entire time. And I can't wait to see what happens in two.
Yeah.
You know, but I get what you're saying because we really don't know anything, but for a book that we don't know anything about, but we were riveted the entire time. Like that's crazy. And that, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely down. But I don't know if it's more morbid curiosity that, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I definitely want to know what's going on.
Right.
But like, I just didn't feel like as I was reading it that like I was into it. Like you said, like I was into both stories, but I just like didn't really understand it. You know? And I don't know.
I don't think we're supposed to understand it yet. Yeah. I don't feel like we've missed anything. But by the end of it, I feel like, I mean, book two and whatever, I think there's going to be more to come, obviously, that will explain it. And I think it could go up more or it could drop off. You know, all of a sudden you'd be like, oh, wow, I don't get that. But it is, like I said a couple weeks ago when we were talking about it, and I said, looks like Redbox, and it is. It's basically.
Well, it definitely is, yeah.
The Redbox. So, but all right. Ready to get to the next one?
Yeah.
Now, so this one you knew less about?
Well, it's not that I don't know less, but, well, let's say it's May's book, issue number one.
Yep.
This is a 5-issue miniseries from Dark Horse Comics. It was written, drawn, everything by Jeff Lemire.
Yep.
I guess I wouldn't say that I didn't understand this book, but this one had me more, like, I wasn't really riveted with this book until the last page, like, till the end.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't really get me until the very end. But you follow this guy who's grieving the loss of his daughter. Spent a lot of time talking about her sweater and, you know, in his life. Like, he's just, he's basically just going through the motions, right? Like, he has no joy. He has.
Walking through the maze of life.
Yeah. He has nothing, right? Like, he wakes up every day, does his job, comes home, and has no joy because he lost his daughter. And then you just follow that through the entire book. That's like all the book is until the end where he gets a phone call and it seems to be coming from his daughter asking him for help and end scene, right?
Right.
The curtain drops and that's the end of the book. So it's not like I just necessarily didn't understand it, but like I was not into this book really until the very end. Like I can't say I was enthralled like I was with Deadbox, where I was like, you know, really turning the pages to see what was going on. This one, I felt like I was him. As I was reading this, I was just going through the motions too, you know, and just going, you know, following him on his life. Until the very end where, you know, now you're like, okay, you know, is she alive? What's going on?
Right.
So, again, I'm on board for it because now I've got to see what happens next. But I don't feel like I enjoyed this one as much as I did the other one until the end of the book. So,
yeah, I was engaged the entire time because of that feeling of loss, that like he lost his daughter. And you know what really pulled this book in for me was the artwork. because if you notice, the sweater is the only thing with color in it. In the pen, I think he had color in that.
Right.
And other than that, his memories of her, I believe those were slightly cut. Yes, there was a, remember, and then they started to fade and turned to watercolor panels.
Right, right. But there was a scene where he, yeah, where he says he can go deep into his memory and open the door and he's back with her in a room, you know.
But the opening of,
and that was all color, but
yes. But then he's, but the book opens with him saying, like, I'm starting to forget things. I'm starting to, and that's, right. that's his pain. Like, he doesn't want to forget her and he keeps trying to remember this stuff. But then the rest of the book of him walking down the street, everything is just sketched so, like, haphazardly, like, because it doesn't matter to the right. main character of this book. Nothing else matters. So we're just going to get, but it's still very well done. It still drew me in. There was still so much to go on and the pain that he's going through this entire book. And then on top of that, like, that phone call was coming through the whole book. And he just kept
not answering it,
right. You know, and then you find out at the end, you're like, oh no, what is it? Is it somebody right. screwing with him? Is it? And now this one ends with a morbid curiosity of like,
yeah,
what are we doing here? But the pain that he goes through, the one part where he was in the lobby and I believe he lives like in an apartment building.
Yeah, he was talking with like the neighbor about the mail or something like that.
And
yeah.
one of the things that I'm hoping is whatever happens in this book for him, that if he meets the neighbor or becomes friendly with her, because he's a loner right now, nothing else matters, right. nothing else has color. I'm hoping later on, as this story gets better for him, like he looks at her and she gets color in the book.
Right.
And it's like, so I'm intrigued with it that way. And I again, really like this book. And I was intrigued the entire way through. I had an opinion, like I was dead on with, I wanted Dead Box as my title, but then right. the more I thought about May's book as we were talking and as we were getting through, and then when we got here, as the show was going on, I'm like, you know what, there's such a feel to that to me, but Dead Box has so many good, there are some things in there that they're trying to like, remember some of the lines in there about humanity and stuff? And it's like, about like society, like we, you're not, what was it? You're not a society if you defend the stupid or something like that. Or I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. I don't know. Or you're not, you're failed. You're destined to fail if you defend the stupid or, well, I don't know.
Well, it opened, yeah, the first two pages. Like
that, but I loved all that stuff.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was more philosophical stuff that led you into the book, but
right. Which I thought was actually kind of funny. So yeah. I liked that stuff, but so I'm going to guess that you're going to go with Dead Box this week.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. I could go either way. So I will go with Dead Box then.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right, before we get to everything else that we've read this week, let's get to what's coming up next week.
So we're going to check out Maw, issue number one, M-A-W, yep. and I believe that's from Boom Studios.
Yes, it is. Yep. Do you know anything about it? Yep.
I know something about a big mouth. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, I can see that on the cover, too.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Yeah.
And then, really, from lack of any other number ones coming out next week, I have Vampiverse.
I'm down for this.
I mean, I'm down for it because I like Vampirella.
Yeah, we've read Vampirella before.
But I was kind of looking for another number one issue coming out to pick. And I couldn't find one, so.
That's funny.
I mean, I probably would have read this anyway, so.
Yeah.
We can give that one a whirl.
Yeah. So. That'll be fun. Be fun to talk about. Can't go wrong with Vampirella. All right. What else did you read this week, John?
I read most of the big ones, you know, the Marvel and DC books. But the ones I kind of took note of are all the independent books, and they're all the number twos.
Okay.
The Last Book You'll Ever Read, issue number two, came out.
Oh, I didn't even get to that one.
Oh, you didn't get to it?
No.
Good? Really good. Yeah, really good. I liked it a lot. I won't go into too much of it then, since you haven't read it yet. But
okay,
really keeps the kind of the feel from the first issue, but expands the story out a little bit.
Yeah.
Really good. So definitely.
I struggled to get to the ones that I read.
Yeah.
Very busy week.
Not All Robots, number two.
Okay.
Also, again, just keeps this, you know, it kept this the same feel and pace from issue number one.
Cool.
But, you know, they had a lot of the fallout from Orlando. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for what happened in issue number one, you know, they had a trial for the robot and all that stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's really interesting.
So they're treating them like humans. Gotcha.
Well, they did, but the outcome of it was also a very big indictment on society. Like, this is just an allegory for, you know, society. And
there's a lot of that coming out lately.
Yeah.
Which, and we said the same thing with Deadbox. I've been meaning to talk to you about this, but it comes up every week. Do you think that they're doing that on purpose with these books? Or, and this is how I tend to think, they do that all the time. It's just so hyper-realistic right now. We're noticing this stuff right now.
I think comics have always followed the social consciousness, so it probably always happens, like you said. But I also feel like in this day and age, these creators are using their comics as a platform to,
of course, right,
to speak out, maybe a little bit more than in the past, because, you know,
well, X-Men was right, made there for is racism. Right?
Right. So
not
right.
I mean, it's always been done.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's always been there, but I feel like maybe it's more prevalent now, or maybe we're just more sensitive
to it.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's everywhere. And now, you know, now we're finding it in our comics too. But yeah, this book is full of satire, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like I said, if you read number one, you already kind of know what the deal is. So it's just more of the same. But I really was intrigued with the way they played out, like the trial and all that stuff, and what's going on there. So that was great. And then The Me You Love in the Dark, number two. So as I said before, I had already read this number two a while back, but I read it again because I really enjoyed it. Still really enjoyed it. Still my favorite book of the three. I really like this series. This one actually ratchets up from number one.
Yeah, you said that when we were talking
about
number
one. Yeah.
So, we'll revisit those next week, definitely.
Yeah, so those are the three that I definitely wanted to make note of. But, you know, I mean, I read Batman. You know, I read Daredevil. Whatever else came out, I read all of those as well.
Batman, Catwoman, was that any better, or did you skip that?
Skipped it. I'm done.
You're done. You're not gonna hate read. Oh, I really liked it.
Nope, I'm done.
Oh, I really liked it. Really liked it this week. I think it's good.
Yeah,
I really do. I really do.
I can't do it, man.
I felt like, you know what's funny though? It's like you're dropping out now, and there's only what, five left, four left. Goes to 12.
Well, this was number seven. This was just the second half. It's on the downswing, right? But so, I read six, and there was six left. So,
right. I feel like this one for the like, you don't like the way they're going back and forth. I feel like it's starting to settle down. I really don't.
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't feel like it jumped around at all. I'm trying to think if it did. I don't know. I really like it. Really like it a lot. So I'll have to find somebody else that likes it to talk to him.
Yeah, it's not Dr. Joe.
No, actually, he's hate reading it, so I can probably...
No, he's not.
Oh, he stopped?
He's not.
Did he
no,
say he's
No, he stopped
out?
As well, yeah.
Oh.
His show this week, he said he was not going to read it either.
Oh.
So.
Well, I'll find somebody. That's too bad. I like it. Nice House on the Lake. Did you read that?
I'm like halfway
number
through
four.
It. I fell asleep reading that last night, and I haven't gotten back. It not because it's bad, like, you know, it's just I'm reading late.
Oh, it ends on like a whoa.
I just keep reading books until I fall asleep during one, then I pick it up later.
Yeah.
So, like I said, no indictment on the book itself. But yeah, from what I read, still a great book.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And Batman Fear State, like you, I like it.
The Alpha or just the Batman? No,
Batman
112.
Number 112. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I read that one
because they're dealing with.
I like it too, but I feel like I'm a little over it now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like Tynan's. I feel like we've had this story now for about a year, and I'm kind of done with it.
Well, yeah, because we went through the Joker War, and
yeah.
We're like, what is going on here? And it's, I feel like we've had this story before as well. It's,
yeah.
It feels like another, you know, I don't feel like this is, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it doesn't feel fresh to me at all. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Daredevil number 34. You said you read that, and you can definitely tell
that.
We're starting to tie the, you know, this is starting to.
Yeah, we're wrapping
getting
this
to
one.
The end of this one.
Yeah.
I liked how, did you get the feeling like, I had the feeling like him going to prison and everything, it's like this was all part of a master plan, like he knew more going in, because he's trying to expose it. Do you think he did that? Or do you think he got there and then exposed it?
I think he got there and did that. I think his going to jail was purely his guilt over what happened.
And then it all just worked out.
This all just kind of worked out while he was there. Yeah, yeah. Conveniently. But I have to say, I wasn't super thrilled with Matt this issue. I don't quite like what he's doing.
Like how?
I know he would. I just, there's this whole, I don't know, fighting the cops there, and I know he was on the drug or whatever, but
right.
I just didn't like the turn this week with him.
Sure that's what's weird. That's why I'm asking, do you think he went there on purpose? Because if he went there because he felt guilty about everything he's doing, why is he doing it all now? And I know he's on that drug, but he's supposed to have been coming down from that drug, no, when he got out.
It wasn't so much the guilt of everything he's been doing. It was the guilt of the death of that, of the murder. Like, I don't think he feels guilty for being Daredevil and, like, stopping, you know, everything else he does. But I feel like, you know, he thinks that he has to pay for the death of that guy. And this is his punishment. So, like, you know, he shouldn't be above the law. Like, if it was anybody else, they would go to prison. And so he should do his time. But I don't think I don't think he manufactured that scenario to get himself into jail to, you know, root out this corruption. Right.
The corruption, right.
I just think that it's, you know, it's something that he's been exposed to since he's been in there. And, you know, is now trying to deal with. So,
all right, yeah, it'll be interesting. I wasn't sure. I'm like, oh, did he do this on purpose? Because that to me seems something like a Batman would do.
Yeah, it seems like a little bit more. That's a Kingpin move more than a Daredevil move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not that I don't think Matt's stupid. You know, he's a lawyer but I don't think he's planning out 37 moves ahead like Kingpin or Batman. So he's a little bit more fly by the seat of his pants and take things as they come.
All right, and that's all I've got for this week. Got them all, unfortunately. All right, you ready to get to real world?
Yeah.
All right. All right, John. What was on your big screen this week?
This is a pretty small week for me this week. Only have a couple of things. Yeah, I watched a lot of sports this last week. So
football did start back up.
Football. I got sucked into the U.S. Open, and I watched a lot of that. Watched some soccer/football
football
on the weekend as well. Football. A lot of sports, but, I did watch a few things. So I watched Monster Hunter, on, I believe it was on Hulu.
Okay.
But I hadn't seen it. So, it's, have you seen it?
Monster Hunter. I don't think so.
Yeah. Mila Jovovich.
The movie?
Yeah.
The movie. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was actually looking. Yeah. I did a whole, I did a podcast on it.
Oh, okay.
Love that movie.
Well, okay. So this was a fun movie. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't a good movie, but it was a hurricane heist movie. You
awesome
know what I mean?
Home
like
theater movie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I didn't get that experience so much because it was on Hulu. So there wasn't really the Atmos or any of that stuff.
It was still not
bad. I mean, by all means, it wasn't bad.
You another disc?
But
cause
no,
because
I don't know if I don't know if I want to watch it again that badly.
See,
but
I thought it was better than I actually enjoyed it more than the Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I liked it more than that, and they both are fantastic home theater movies.
Now, I like Mad Max. I liked Fury Road a bit better, but this was fine. Like it was a fun movie for sure. Like I really enjoyed it. But it's just, you know, it's not a great movie when it comes
no.
to
not the story, right.
and all of that, but super fun. And like I said, I hadn't seen it, so I watched that. And then I watched Rocket Man, which I had also not seen.
Right.
It was okay. I liked it, but it was not a style of movie that I typically enjoy. This was much more musical. Like it wasn't like Bohemian Rhapsody, where it was like literally like the story of Queen. This was more, everything was done in musical numbers.
Right.
You know, so it's not typically the way I like, you know, I'm not a big like La La Land. Like, I don't like musicals necessarily, even though I love music. And I love Elton John's music. So, but the story, even though it was told mostly through musical numbers, there was enough drama in there that I actually liked this movie. And I thought Taron Egerton, whoever, did a pretty good job as Elton. You know, he did all the numbers, got a pretty good voice, and, you know, he played the part well. So if you like Elton, I don't know. I don't know if you've seen it or not. I'm assuming you didn't because you haven't chimed in to say anything about it.
No, I haven't seen that one yet. Jen and I want to see it. That's another one that's supposed to be really good in the theater, the music.
Well, yes. Like I said, the music was great. And like I said, it is all music. But it kind of, like I said, they use the songs to tell the story. So like they bend the narrative around the particular songs that they want to use. But overall, again, he had a pretty crappy life, honestly. Like a lot of things happened to Elton that weren't great.
Yeah.
But so I checked out that. And then, like I said, besides watching a lot of sports, you know, like I told you, Lydia was gone most of last week, so I didn't really dive into anything new, and we didn't really watch a lot of the stuff we were watching. So I got into watching some tennis, and I watched, you know, a bunch of other things. But I did watch a few more episodes of Doctor Who that, like I said, I'm still just kind of going through my greatest hits and watching episodes there. So I watched two or three episodes of that.
Cool.
And that's about it. Like, yeah, I can't really think of anything else. Of course, I watched Titans. You know, we watched Ted Lasso. We watched, you know, those shows, but didn't pick up anything new series this week. So,
yeah, so let's get to Ted Lasso first, since you mentioned that. How about that ending with Roy and Jamie?
The ending was great.
Holy cow.
But the best part of that episode was when he leaves the principal's office with his niece, and then the principal says, effing glitter.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the best part of the whole show.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because she's an adult, too.
Because she was in trouble for, you know, for cursing too much.
Yeah.
You know, sitting right there, she's like, can we go get ice cream? And he says, F no.
Yeah. F no.
Yeah.
I loved how when he talked to her in the car and he's like, I do it for a living. I have to. Right. It's required.
I'm a footballer. That's what we do.
I'm a footballer. It's what we do. It's part of the job.
And then he says, because you can't be a veterinarian for wild animals. And I don't even understand how that works. You take care of them and nobody pays you. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's great.
What, do they just come up to you? Like, right. You take care of them and nobody pays you? That was so good.
But yeah, that ending with Roy and Jamie was pretty good.
Oh, my God.
And even like the... I really liked the dynamic this week with Ted and the psychiatrist there. I don't know her name, but
yes,
the doctor was really good. So, yeah.
How the opening of the show, and she gets hit. She gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And Jen and I went, oh, no. Like, did they just write her off the show? Like,
right.
Oh, you want more money? You're going for a bike ride.
Exactly.
It's like, whoops. That's... I was like, wow, like at that opening when she gets hit, you're like, wow, this show's going dark fast.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, she's okay, but, yeah.
And actually the real best part of that episode is when it was done, I checked out IMDb and there's four more, there's 12 episodes this season. So we've got a bit more to go.
We've got a ways to go. Why did you think that was the finale?
I wasn't sure because that was episode 8, and I wasn't sure if it was 8 or because season 1 was 10. So this one's actually going 12. So we've got four more.
And I think IMDb says there's a 3 already slated. I think it lists.
It does show it shows like an episode 1 for season 3.
So that's good news.
Yeah,
that's good news. You know what I thought was interesting though? As great an episode as this was, you know what they haven't done? They haven't. I mean, we'll probably get it in the next one, but they haven't done anything about Nathan being such a dink.
He is, yeah, and he is.
He is an ass.
Total
he's
ass.
He's just totally in his own head. He loves, like, I mean, it's, which I hope they do it, they redeem him well, because they could, because, I mean, he's just
they
been.
They could, but.
Look, you see his relationship with his father, which is very much like Jamie's, right?
Right.
Just not, I probably just not as caustic, but. It just looks so, like, he just looks like what he said at the end of the last episode to that kid.
To that kid, yeah, that was brutal. Like, I was like, I just wanted to go smack him right in the head.
Right, but that's such a great story arc for that character, because he came from nowhere, and he's just so happy to be noticed, and now all of a sudden...
Well, he was that kid.
I know!
He was that kid.
And now he's
the whole season one
pushing down on everybody, and you're just like, oh, man. It's like us, John. Look at what we've achieved. We're not pushing down on the little people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
We are the little people.
A rising tide raises all boats.
Right. Exactly. You know? We just got to get a boat.
Exactly. In a rising tide.
Yeah. No, we got the rising tide. We've been treading water for years.
That's true.
We just need a boat. All right. You didn't get to check out Disney's Jungle Cruise yet?
I did not.
Oh! Come on.
I got a bunch. I didn't get to check out Why the Last Man yet either. And I'm dying to watch
that. I haven't checked that out. I'm hoping Jen will watch that one with me. Yeah. How about Lucifer?
No, didn't get to it.
No, I thought you were going to be done with it.
I know. I said, we didn't have a lot of time.
I made
this
sure
weekend
to finish season 5.
Well, there you go.
So we only had like the last episode to go. So we did that, and we did episode 1 of season 2 so far. So I'm ahead of you on something.
You are, yes.
How about Only Murders in the Building on Hulu?
Again, it's on my list for sure, but I haven't started it yet.
It's so, John, come on. It's so good. It's like, I think each episode's like a half hour.
Yeah.
And
no, it looks great.
Martin Short, Steve Martin, Selena Gomez, it is... really, really good. You got to get to that one, then we can talk about it some more in detail, because I think that's going to be the next one that people will be like Ted Lasso, like, hey, thanks for bringing that one up. That one, it's a lot of fun. I really like it.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to watch it, honestly. But like I said, we're piling up with, we've got Lucifer. We're still got like one episode left of Fauda, so we'll probably finish that tonight.
I don't want to hear it. Every week you come in here and you it's like 20 minutes of just, I did watch this, I watched this, I watched this, I watched it. And then this week you're like, I've been kind of busy watching sports.
Yeah. I know. Brutal.
And Euphoria.
Yeah.
Loving that. You finished it, right?
I'm done with it, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. Jen loves it. We love it. It's a difficult show for sure.
It is very difficult. I don't know where you're at, but
it's it's, I think you and I are entertained by it, which is sad.
Yeah.
Jen is like, watching her watch this, because she deals with these kids, and she's like sitting there looking at these kids and looking at what they're going through, and she's just shaking her head because she's seen it for real. And I'm just like, why are they doing that? Like, why would kids do that? And but it's just, when she looks at this, she's like, it's so accurate. And it's sad. Very sad.
Yeah.
But no, we just finished the one where, was it Zendaya? She says, she makes a phone call at the end of the episode. I want to get some pancakes.
Okay.
So she calls up that guy from the meetings that called her out, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
So, yeah, but I don't remember what episode that was, but
yeah.
But yeah, like you're four. Moving right along.
We're cooking along, so.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm telling you, those two special episodes are really where it's at.
Oh, yeah? You watch those anytime, or do you have to finish it and then
You really shouldn't, because
shouldn't what?
You shouldn't watch them anytime. You should wait.
Oh, wait till you finish.
They definitely play off of, like, the season, you know, like the end of the season. So I wouldn't watch them separately.
Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. Damn, we're only at an hour and a half.
I know, that's not bad.
We still got an hour and a half to go. What are we going to do? Last week was 3 hours.
They don't all have to be 3 hours.
I know. This is so nice. All right. That'll do it for this week. We're going to hit on Titans, and we'll hit on What If in Kryptonite. But for this week, that will do it. Nice, short show. Yeah. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody for participating in the Nerdy Legion and all the great podcasts that are there. And if you're not participating in the Nerdy Legion, you can. All you got to do is go to nerdylegion.com, and you can hit subscribe on each and every one by just hitting the button, subscribe to Nerdy Legion, and then you get them all, and you support all the podcasts. Real simple and free. I just made that up. Martin didn't even send me that script.
You're a natural.
Yeah, I just made that up on the top of my head. All right. That'll do it for this week. In the meantime, you can talk to me on Twitter at @brightside_chat, or you can talk to John exclusively at Arkham Comics with an X, and he will get back to you, but he will not be talking about Batcat with you. So
he will not
mention anything else, and he'll get back to you within 2 to 3 short weeks.
There you go.
All right.
Don't put the pressure on me, man. don't put me under the gun.
Yeah, because that's right around Halloween. I'll probably be busy.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this week. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you in Kryptonite.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right, John, is that door locked?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Yeah. I didn't hear the click.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that was weird.
Yes,
it's locked.
The door is
a heavy door you have.
It is a heavy door.
Yeah, keep those hurricanes out.
That's right.
All right. What do you want to get to first? You want to talk zombies, or do you want to talk...
We do What If, right?
Barbara and...
She fell onto Dick. Let's do What If.
All righty. What If? Zombies.
Yeah, zombie. Marvel Zombies. Yep.
I'm not a big zombie fan, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it,
I thought
it
was a lot of fun.
I mean, this is a classic Marvel story. You know, they kind of appropriated, because Marvel Zombies is a thing they've done. But what I liked was that a couple of episodes ago, when we had everybody killing the Avengers, or all the Avengers getting killed,
right,
the big bad turned out to be Hank Pym.
Yep.
And then in this episode, the big bad once again turned out to be Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Not so much maliciously, but inadvertently. Yeah, inadvertently, he was the cause of all of this, right?
So I wanted to ask you that because the motivation was exactly the same.
Right.
So
trying to find his wife.
Right. So this what if, you imagine that each one of these what if episodes takes place in a different universe. Right. Because this isn't like the comics. The comics had, it had nothing to do with universes. It was just what if stories. That's where they got the name.
Right.
So this one here, it feels like ever since Loki and everything that's going on in the MCU, that this actually could have.
These are different multiverses.
Multiverses, right? And it could play into the MCU or maybe not because you might never see them again because it's a different universe. Who knows?
Right.
But this is that first little thread that we talked about after that first one that you're like, wait a minute. Is that
right?
It's nothing like this happens in the MCU by coincidence.
Right.
Your favorite term.
I was like, why is it Hank again?
Yeah, but that's, isn't that weird though? That's so so obscure. Like he's a double villain. Inside of what? Right. Like, that's like 3 weeks, right? Or is that
two right? Weeks? Inside of three episodes. Yeah, because it was like 3 weeks ago. Because last week was the Doctor Strange, and then this week was the. Yeah, so it was like three episodes ago.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
and they both have to do with the Avengers being taken down.
Right.
So, is that like the running theme throughout the multiverse? Is that Hank Pym takes down the Avengers?
Well, I don't know. Where does that go into the movies? You know, and then, like, didn't really play into that doesn't play into the other episodes at all. Like, Hank Pym is nowhere to be found in the Captain Carter episode or the, Doctor Strange episode. So, I don't know. But that's the only, so far, that's the only thing that, the only coincidence we've had.
Right.
Between more than one episode is him. But I guess it depends on what we see in the back half of
the zombie.
The back half of the season, yeah. The
back half of the season, too, yeah. Does this pop up? Does Hank Pym pop up again?
Right, right.
Which is, that's weird.
Yeah.
And then when you started this season of What If, did you think, like, I hope they have some Hank Pym in here?
No. Not at all.
Because as a matter of fact, when he showed up in the other one, you're like, oh, it's Hank. That's like the last person you would have thought of.
Right.
Even if you had figured out in the, like, with the syringe that, you know, that Black Widow put into Iron Man, and they showed that should have been the dead giveaway, the end of the syringe being blown out, you know?
Right.
Even if you figured it out, you would have probably guessed, like, Ant-Man or something, or you would have guessed,
it wouldn't have been Hank,
you know,
right? Wouldn't have been Hank.
Yeah, it would have been something else, but not. Yeah. So
the only thing I wished when I was watching this is that, you know, you have the whole heroic sacrifice with Janet, and you know she kind of sacrifices herself to save everybody else. But I wish she would have had the forethought to, like, shrink back down to normal size before she died and turned into a zombie, because she knew she was going to turn into a zombie, and she was going to turn into like a 37 foot tall zombie that's going to be a lot harder to take down. So, well, it's like, why didn't she shrink back down before?
Does
the
zombie still have the powers of the suit? Can the zombie shrink and rise?
I mean, I feel like they probably, probably yes, because, like, Zombie Cap was still going around throwing the shield, and like, I guess they retain their ability. So to that point, it probably doesn't matter. You're right. Like, she probably could have just giant sized or super sized herself again.
If she
anyways.
Was going to be a zombie, they should have had her get out of the suit.
Right.
Then she's just a person.
Right.
You know, it's like, so it's like,
but yeah, I kept thinking the whole time she was dying, I was like, she's going to come back and she's going to be like 38 feet tall.
and she seemed to, it took her a longer time to turn.
Yeah, because
the
some
other
of them were turning
like
instantly.
Mid-battle. Yeah, like, argh.
Exactly. And then it's like, she took a few minutes. So there was a little inconsistency with that. But,
yeah, maybe because her cut was just little on her arm or something. I don't
maybe.
Know. I don't know.
But But yeah, I thought it was fun. You know, obviously it's like which ones turn and which ones don't. Like, you know,
yeah,
who makes it and who doesn't. But I loved the Scott's head in a jar flying around the cape.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Flying around with the
and he had all the one-liners.
Yeah.
And they're like, just stop. Yeah,
telling dad jokes like about being ahead and, you know, kicking ahead in this life or whatever, you know, stupid things that he said. I don't know what they were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were a bunch, but.
But, yeah, that was pretty funny. But, yeah, super fun. You know, again, they're all just fun stories, I think, you know. But I'm curious to see how they
tie together.
Because we were told in the beginning that they all had a thread that tied, like they all were going to eventually play a purpose in the MCU. So
maybe we go back. I wonder if you'd see. I mean, obviously we have the Hank tie together so far.
Right.
Maybe if we go back and start watching them. Like, I'm wondering if some of these, like, the other thing is, not only is it Hank, but the Avengers being decimated in two episodes. That's a thread. If it wasn't Hank, we'd at least, if it was two different people, we'd at least have that. But although in this one, Cap did go, he did get turned. So, you know, whereas in the other one, he didn't. So we speculated at the end of that, well, they could rebuild the Avengers eventually, you know.
With Captain, right.
Right.
With a different team with Captain America. But yeah, Cap is gone in this one, so.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, I mean, we'll see how this one's resolved when they continue it.
Right.
Because
at the end you get the big, well, and again, it's almost like their end game, right? Because it's going to be Thanos, and like, what's his agenda now? You know, now that he's zombie Thanos.
Well, he's not there, you know? Right? He's taken over Wakanda.
Thanos. Right, but what I'm saying is, what's his agenda now? It's not to snap and wipe out half of the universe again. I don't think. Right. So, now he's zombie Thanos, right? Because now he just wants to eat everybody. So,
right,
I don't know.
But it's all still scenes from, like, this was Infinity War,
right?
And now the second one we're gonna get
will be basically Endgame, right?
And it's like, how does this get resolved? How is it going to track through, like, just like Endgame did? Because this one kind of did. It didn't end. It ended similar. It ended in the same place that Infinity War. So I guess it tracked correctly. That was pretty cool at the beginning when it opened up like that on the streets of New York like that. And the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Banner was still saying the same things. And
yeah, it was literally Infinity War.
Right. Infinity War. So. But then, of course, you have the zombies of Tony coming in from behind, but the light behind him, so you can't tell. And
that was a little harsh.
We don't do that. Didn't he say something like that? Like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is kind of cool that we're getting the two, you know, Endgame and Infinity War, and they're building it like that. So I don't know. Let's see. All right. What's coming up this week for that one? Do you know?
I don't know.
I forget. All right. You ready to get to Titans?
Sure.
All righty. So, before we get to Titans, when I go back and I watch these back, because I have to edit these things together and I have to check timestamps and stuff, and I get to this part here where the music comes on, I find out I am as white can be.
Why?
Because I'm listening to the music in my head, and when you watch these back, watch our YouTube numbers go up here. I look like an absolute jackass. Because I'm like trying to dance to the music, but I'm like, my head's moving and bopping and people, but it's like I'm bopping to a different song because I'm not even on. Jen was what I played it for her. And she like started crying, like not happy crying. Like, I'm sorry I married this guy. I look like I'm bopping. Like I think I'm dancing to the song, but it's like, there's no rhythm. It's not even close. It's like I'm playing something. It's like I'm playing the Bee Gees.
That's funny.
Dancing to something else.
Have to look
but it I think I'm going along with it. In my head, I think this is what you're supposed to do, right?
Right.
but That's then funny. Every week I go back, I'm like, oh, man, I look stupid. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Nobody said I was good at anything, so.
Or that I had rhythm.
Yeah, no, yeah.
There's a reason One why the, I yeah. don't. Yeah. The reason why I don't dance. Yeah.
Gloria Estefan was not correct.
Right.
Rhythm did not get me. It actually ran away. All right. Let's get to Titans. Refresh my memory, John. I remember the, you know, Barbara and
she fell onto Dick.
And I remember it ended. We'll jump right there to, like, he's like, okay, let's wait. We'll get that beer in a minute. I remember right. that. But what was the meat of the show?
Well, they were trying to take down Scarecrow. Well, like, they yeah. went to Oracle, right? They went to use Oracle to try to mm-hmm. get a handle on what Crane was doing, and discovered that Crane had infiltrated Oracle, and they could no longer trust it, so they shut it down, they destroyed it, and then they had to go old school and do some detective work and try to figure out what was right. going on.
That's why I'm confused. That's what's going on in Batman, the book, right?
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing in the book. Oracle's being taken over in the book. Right. And I'm like, which one is which? Oh, man. That's why I said when we're reading the book, I'm like, I feel like the story's been done. I'm like, yeah, because we're right. watching it.
Yeah. So in this case, it's Crane that was in Oracle.
But Oracle's kind of a different entity in this. Oracle's more like...
Like a living Professor computer. X. Yeah.
Like, what you call it?
Like, in the comics originally, Oracle was just Barbara.
Was her.
And, it right. was a computer and it's just genius, Barbara. Yeah. yeah. Just working, you know, kind of doing the Felicity thing on Arrow, where she was just at the computer, you know, given direction and monitoring.
Doesn't Felicity become Oracle in Arrow? Did they call her that?
I don't know if they called her that, but that's essentially what she was. Like, right. She was just Oracle.
I thought they did call her that.
Maybe they did. Maybe they did in the future timeline. Maybe they referred to her back as Oracle or something.
Well, she invented that AI that she right. shut down. Now I'm wondering, great, my mind's going crazy now because I'm remembering the entire episode. And I was thinking, right. any chance that they tie that, like, her tech from that was this? Because right. that's her tech. Her, like... How, like, it's an AI.
Right. So in this show, Oracle is basically an AI as well. Yeah. And it's, you know, an AI that they go to get information. What I didn't understand then is I thought she referred to herself, like, last episode, she said something about being Oracle. Hmm. So maybe it was just using Oracle. Maybe it was just... that she was using Oracle. I don't know, but
right.
And then you just kind of have the whole super team fight. Like they all get together
and they go to the
warehouse where Crane is manufacturing. I like the Victor Freeze name drop. Like they drop a lot of names yep. in this show. Yep. You know, they dropped Selina Kyle last week. They dropped Victor Freeze this week. But yeah, they're in an ice cream factory and they're getting ready to distribute the drug and the team busts in and kind of foils.
Scarecrow is like crazy.
Yeah,
like,
foil Scarecrow.
No!
Yeah.
Like, this isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
He's like, he's okay.
Not happy about what's going on. So at the end of the day, like he realizes that his plan is going down the tube. So he grabs Jason and they kind of split. I get the sense, maybe this is just me, but I felt like Jason was in the back of that van kind of going through withdrawals from the drug, and that maybe he's going to start rejecting Crane and, you know, kind of rebelling against Crane, and maybe that's kind of the start to his road, you know.
To redemption.
To coming back, yeah, that, you know, now that he's kind of getting the drug out of his system. Maybe he's going to push back.
Crane hit him up at the opening of the episode with that, where he took him down with a drug.
Right.
You know, he tricked him, which I think pretty much everybody except for him saw coming.
Right.
But
it wasn't the regular drug. Like, it was something. Jason thought it was.
Right.
But he didn't get the drug. He got whatever concoction Crane gave him to, you know, he got roofied and woke up tied to the bed. So
why the hell you would be that cocky with anybody while taking the drugs they're giving you?
Right.
Like, you can't do anything to me. Hey, give me some of those drugs I need to just to be alive.
Well, because he's a teenager, as we've established that he's a teenager.
He's a dumb teenager on drugs.
Right. But yeah, it's some good, you know, it was a really good battle with everybody. I liked Crypto, the super intelligent dog that knew enough to shoot his heat vision on the guns. Right.
Right.
I was like, shoot the guns. It's a pretty smart dog.
Yeah.
but that was cool. And the whole, Blackfire suiting up and joining the team was cool. So
yeah,
I don't know. Like, overall, it was
Blackfire, like, Superboy getting at it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'd like to show you. Yeah. I bet you would.
Yeah. He's not stupid.
No. But yeah, it was definitely a step up from last week, I thought, because I was
great action.
Nothing made me mad in this episode.
Starfire and her, like, what she did to the crime boss.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And her, I liked when they first met her, first met the crime boss, and she looks at Blackfire and goes, "You're awfully quiet." Boss's orders.
Right.
But she's just sitting back there looking like a badass, which is awesome. Yep. You know, like she's two women walk in the room and the one in the back's the muscle.
Yeah, she's like, the enforcer.
What? And she is. It's like, I mean, they
really, Corey's the more powerful of the two, but it that's the impression that you get.
Exactly. But looking at the two, she looks like she's the muscle in the back of the room. She's on the black leather, the intimidating.
Looks way more intimidating.
And quiet, you know, just standing in the back, like. I mean, remember Spencer for Hire and Hawk?
Yeah.
And that guy just sat there. He's just like, you know, black guy. He was black, right? With the shaved head and the sunglasses, and he never said anything. They just show up and be like, I'm not screwing with them.
Right.
It's like, jeez.
And I love the fact that Corey acknowledged exactly what I was thinking when she was burning up that crime boss, is that you didn't get the information you needed,
she goes,
but you're burning her up anyways. But then she says it afterwards, so it made it better.
You know? I thought she was going to say, like, she could read her mind while she was doing it, so she got it and killed her, but I thought that was even better.
Right.
Because as she was killing her, I'm like, oh, but she's not going to get all the information.
Right, I was then, like, don't you need the information?
Right. Everything, but, like, she could have got that, and she's about to give it to you, and she's like, no, screw that.
Right.
I'm like, that. Couldn't you got the information and it's still done? That?
And then shook her hand, right?
Yeah, thank you. Deal is done. Whoosh.
Right.
But I think it's more poignant by doing it that way. Like, I don't, you pissed
it
me
was.
Off so bad that I'm going to let it go. I'm just going to let you go. But because, I mean, yeah, that I was pretty shocked that she shot her son like that.
Yeah, I was too. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And Corey, like, I promised him. Well, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, my first thought was, well, he's not going to hold it against you. That's what I told Lydia. It's like, well, it doesn't really matter. He's not going to hold it against you.
Exactly. He's lying on the floor in a pool.
But then the mother says, they'll teach you to make promises you can't keep. Something like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, it was good. Just another episode ticking down where we haven't seen Raven or Donna yet.
Yeah, you're counting that
down. And I'm like, I'm really kind of getting to where I think we're not going to get it till the last episode or the cliffhanger of the last episode.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and with like Batman, where's
Bruce? We're like 7 or 8 episodes in now, and
it should
the clock
be,
is ticking.
It should be 12.
Yeah.
I think it's 12 episodes, so yeah. Yeah, we're getting there.
The clock is ticking.
Yep. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. That'll do it.
I think so.
All righty then. That'll do it. We will be back next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Right.